Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Working Mama podcast. This week on the podcast, I'm speaking with Jodi Geddes, who is the co-founder of Circle In that has a clear mission to create a better working world for caregivers. I really like this chat with Jodi because it's a very much an all-round encompassing chat about her journey, where her learnings are, going into business with her best friend, and then where they're at today, but also about what organizations can do to support women. So buckle up and enjoy this chat. But before we do, I would really appreciate if you'd be able to share this episode or share the Working Mama podcast with friends and family that are in your network that are working mums and that you think would be interested in the variety of topics that we talk about. Also, if you've got a suggestion for a guest, I'd love to hear from you. And if you'd be able to leave a rating and review on the Apple Podcasts, that would be absolutely amazing. Also, this episode is brought to you by the Working Mama Village, which is a community that supports working mums like yourself thrive managing the juggle of career and motherhood. And we're focused on lifting you up and empowering you on your journey. So let's get into today's episode. Welcome to the Working Mama Podcast, a show that provides real-world tips, tricks, and advice to all working mamas on how they can have a career, family, and hopefully one day break the glass ceiling. Welcome, Jodi. Welcome to the Working Mama Podcast. How's your day going so far?
It's good. Busy. The life of a working parent, though, right?
It sure is. Sure is. I can't wait to get into today's chat because you've definitely had a journey. So, do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself and what's been your career journey to date?
Yeah, gosh, where do we start? Okay, so a bit about myself. I am a founder, entrepreneur, loving the journey, although it is a roller coaster. I'm a working mother, parent to two little kids, and that's me in a nutshell. I'm pretty busy. And in terms of my journey, you know, the idea of Circle In was really born out of our experience of having kids. So my kids are now 7 and 9, which gives you a feel for how long we've been, you know, thinking and working on the idea. 18 years corporate experience, and then went off to have my first child and experienced the feelings of, you know, disconnection, out of sight, out of mind, and lack of manager support really had an impact. And I often say, you know, for those people that take 4 weeks holiday a year and you come back, you know, to sit back at your desk after that, you really feel like you've been away for a long time. Try doing that for 12 months. And, you know, I really struggled to fit back in. And, you know, it wasn't just me. My co-founder, Kate, was feeling the same. We surveyed over 1,000 working parents and it was unanimous. They all felt similar and that their company should be doing more to support them. So we took that huge leap of faith and jumped off the cliff and launched our business over 5 years ago, and really proud that, you know, it's just grown and grown and become a huge success. It's not something we set out for. You know, we really didn't know what to expect on day one. I remember the night before we launched and, you know, Kate and I were having bets on, you know, how many people will click tomorrow and, you know, is this actually going to work? And I think that's what's exciting in terms of a journey of a startup is you really don't know what's coming and where the startup is going to go. So every day is always a day of firsts and every year is a year of firsts. So we certainly didn't set out to be global or run the company we are today, and it's just grown organically, which has been super exciting.
Oh, what a congratulations on such a journey, but also creating a platform that is so important and so needed. And what you talk about, lack of manager support, struggling to fit back in, it's sad even, you know, you're 5 years into your journey, but even still to this day, you still hear of so many women that are struggling with that and struggling with being able to fit in or not having a good return to work experience. And it's sad because it can actually make such a big difference in not only female workforce participation, but in so many other areas of business.
Oh, 100%. Like if we think about, you know, female leadership pipeline, it all starts with getting parental leave right. Like if we want to retain women in the workforce, we need to start, you know, with helping women through parental leave, helping them return to work, fit back in and know that you can have a career and be a parent. They're not mutually exclusive, but you need to have the right support in place. And you're spot on. Like I'd love to think that things have moved, and look, they have, we're not going backwards, but they certainly aren't moving at the pace we need them to. And the reality is people are still having really, really bad experiences. I mean, only last week I was in Perth presenting at an event, you know, 200 women, and the number that came up to me after my presentation and confided in me around their experiences. And it was heartbreaking. You know, one girl was in tears telling me about the fact that she didn't feel like she could ask, you know, to have a day off for her child's second birthday. You know, it wasn't role modeled. The flexibility wasn't there. She felt like she needed to be seen. Like, that is not good enough. We live in a new working world where flexibility absolutely needs to be, you know, the norm and is key to business success. If you want to retain and attract the best talent, you need to create a culture where parents feel like they, you know, can be supported. They can have a life outside of work because they are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, 100%. And it's sad that, yeah, as much as some organizations, like the ones that you work with, are definitely making it forward. I was even as well speaking to someone last week, and she just started a new job, and she goes, they're making me be in the office and they're wanting me to be seen. But she goes, I can still build a network. And that's okay. I can still do it from home. It's a relatively new company. So she goes, I'll be fine. And she goes, I've done it all before, but there's this thing of being seen. And she goes, I don't need to go on a bus for an hour and a half in Sydney to be able to get to work. That time for me is so much better spent when I can drop off my kids at childcare. I can come home and I'm more productive, and I'm also better in myself. It's, as you're saying, that flexibility is so important.
It is. And I think it's such an old school way of looking at things if you expect people to be in the office all the time. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some roles where you need to be, you know, in the office for a certain amount of time, whether that's 1, 2, 3 days a week, whatever it may be. But COVID has taught us that we can work remotely. We can be just as effective and productive. You know, there is a level of trust. Our team works fully remote. And, you know, there's some employees in 2 years I've only met once. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, they're not firing at their job and doing incredible work. They absolutely are. And, you know, we truly believe that if you support your employees and have that flexible culture, you know, the business benefits are huge. You know, when your team are happier, you get so much more out of them, because they want to work for you. You know, they're happy to be there. They want to give you 100% because you're supporting them to live a life outside of work as well and be their best. So, you know, I keep coming back to it, but they're not mutually exclusive. And, you know, I love that COVID has done, you know, well, there's a lot of negatives with COVID, but there's also been a lot of positives. And, you know, it's really fast-tracked flexibility in a lot of ways and enabled dads to play more of a role. And I love that. I always talk about, you know, you only need to go to the schoolyard at 3 o'clock and see more dads at pickup. Like, that is fantastic. So we need to be encouraging more businesses to think in that way and know that when you put that support there, your business benefits, like your employees will thrive. There is no doubt about it.
Yeah, and also you'll attract the employees as well. So I know my husband before COVID, he was never able to work from home, and it was the perception, if you're working from home, you're watching Netflix. But then since, he's now able to work day and a half from home, and he probably does more drop-off and pick-ups and childcare than what I do. And it's just the nature of how COVID in a positive way has changed it. Have you also seen the organizations you're working with, particularly around, say, flexible work, are they doing other initiatives to support working parents so they can really integrate both their work and also their personal lives?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we now support over 80 companies globally, and these are the ones that are walking the talk. They're really wanting to create a family-friendly organization. And, you know, we often say having policy and strategy is one thing, but it's the support that you're putting in place to really build that culture and create an environment where parents feel like, you know, they can bring their whole selves to work. So, you know, having our platform is one thing, but our customers are doing so much more. You know, we've heard of, you know, Slack channels being created to support working parents. I mean, we've even got one customer that's created a hot women channel for women going through menopause. You know, they're creating communities where people feel like they can have a voice, they can be open, they can share their stories. Storytelling is huge to us. We believe it drives cultural change. So we're very big on working with our customers on, you know, whether it's a webinar, a morning tea, bringing a community together, but actually normalizing, you know, different conversations and sharing stories, whether it's caring for a loved one, caring for someone who's got COVID, you know, long COVID. How do you balance that? Everybody has a story to share. So in answer to your question, our platform is one of many things that companies can do, but we always say it's the support that is more important. Well, not more, but just as important as the policy and strategy.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, it all goes hand in hand. It's just like the piece of the pie that you can't just have one piece on its own. It's all got to be integrated. And certainly, as you said earlier, the managers walking the talk and that leadership change is also, you know, really critical and certainly empowering, you know, both mums and dads to leave earlier to go pick up their kids from school or childcare.
Yeah, I mean, managers play an absolute critical role in all of this. And that's why, you know, our platform, it supports managers as well. We want to make sure they're having the right conversations. It's also about role modeling at a senior level. You know, I think there's nothing more powerful than when a CEO or an executive shares a story about the fact that they're leaving at 3 o'clock on a Friday to go do school pickup and take their kids to footy practice. I mean, that sends a message through the organization that, hey, we can, you know, we hear you, we see you, we want to support you as working parents. So role modeling, manager support, they all go hand in hand. And it's a sum of the parts really that leads to creating a workplace that truly embraces, you know, families.
Yeah, definitely. And so what's been your experience? Obviously you've created Circling off the back of your experience. So how, when you're returning back into work, how did your perception of work and career change? And did your priorities change and or didn't have a supportive employer? What were some of those challenges and how your perceptions are of around your career as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, I find this question difficult because I left my employer now, what, 6-7 years ago, and things have changed so much in that time. Like if I look back 12 years ago, I remember sitting at the bank I was working at, and when people left, you know, parents would leave at 4:30, 5 o'clock, people would shout across the floor, you know, good hours, and people would have a bit of a laugh. Like, that is not acceptable. So things have shifted a huge amount. You know, I still see some companies that aren't creating the right culture, and would I want to work there? Absolutely not. You couldn't pay me enough. But then there are some that are doing amazing things, which is fantastic. I think, you know, in terms of my journey and, you know, working for myself, it's created flexibility like I never thought was possible, which has been phenomenal. And I'm really proud of kind of the culture we're building at Circling and, you know, the environment that we're creating for our staff to really thrive at home and at work.
And have you had any major challenges in your becoming a mom and also then juggling a career, starting a business and things like that? And how have you overcome some of these challenges?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to lie. I've had lots of challenges. I'm normal. You know, sure, we're running a parent platform and doing amazing things. But at the end of the day, I'm still a human and I'm juggling a lot. I still carry guilt. I still cry a lot, you know, over things potentially that I've missed or that I feel like maybe I'm not doing a good job at. The thing that I keep coming back to is I'm doing the best job I can. And for me, it's always about thinking about, you know, what's a priority right now. There's times when work is firing and I need to give that a lot more than perhaps, you know, I can maybe give my kids. But then it flips, you know, I've gotten much better in the last year alone, putting boundaries in place, you know, working different hours to accommodate the kids. You know, there's lots of things that I'm doing. I still find it hard. I still have to, you know, manage, you know, the thoughts in my head and what the guilty thoughts perhaps are telling me. But I think we're all on a journey and at the end of the day, we're doing the best job we can.
That's such a good reminder. And so if we just flip into you creating a business with your best friend, and I know there's a lot of women that have, you know, started businesses when they're returning from either on mat leave or just return because they, again, want that flexibility. What advice do you have to people considering going into business with someone?
Yeah, so I always talk about like the power of partnerships and networks, and it's been fundamental to our success. So, you know, leveraging our networks when we first started. But if I think about partnerships, I've got no better partner than Kate, my co-founder. And, you know, we are incredibly lucky. We get a lot of people ask us the same question like you just did. How, you know, are you really the same, you know, in real life as you are on social and so forth? And the answer is yes. Like, we've never had a fight. And I think that comes down to a little bit like a marriage. You know, our values are aligned. We've got the same work ethic. We've got the same passion. At the end of the day, we're great mates, and there's a huge amount of trust and respect there for one another. I think when we first started, we just felt like we brought similar skills to the table. But in fact, we are so different. And we all can almost draw a line down the middle, and she's clearly responsible for one part of the business and I'm part of the other. But we are now so in sync that, you know, we can finish each other's sentences. We always back each other in decisions. It still means we have great debates and we don't always agree, but we always get to, you know, a great place. And I think one thing I'm so lucky and grateful for is that we do, you know, we're grounded by that friendship. And I always say that, you know, I'd give up the whole business if it meant losing my friendship with her. So I think that just brings us back to, you know, why we're doing this, and that at the end of the day, your partnerships are so important. So I'm lucky to spend, you know, every day with her. We've got a great team behind us. You know, I love our business trips when we go away. We always have a lot of fun and enjoy kind of those moments, because that's the other thing. We don't get a lot of time to stop and reflect and enjoy, you know, the milestones, because when you're running a business like we are, you know, you achieve one thing, you kind of high five, and then the next day, you know, you move forward and move on to the next big thing. So we're trying to get better at celebrating those key milestones.
And I'm going to go on a little bit of a different tangent, but you've also received venture capital funding. Mm-hmm. What do you think has been really critical to your success? And then what advice would you give others, and particularly other women trying to get VC funding? Because we know that more women need and should get the same. We talk about gender equality. It's very much also trying to get that as well for VC funding.
Oh, 100%. And it's one thing that Kate and I truly believe in is things need to change. 0.7% of funding last year went to female founders. That means 99.3% went to, like, it's pretty easy to work out the answer there. And there's a lot of reasons why. We've experienced some of that. Raising is incredibly challenging, especially in this new market now. It's even, you know, more challenging than ever. It's really interesting. I mean, we've conducted 3 raises now. Every time you get better at it, it's like anything. But when we went through our first raise, we had no idea what we were doing. You know, you're kind of fumbling your way through, you get some advice. But second time round, we got a bit better. Third time, you know, I'd like to say that we thought we had nailed it, but it's just, you know, Kate has this beautiful analogy. It's like dating a heap of people, having to take off all your clothes, turn around, and then them decide if they want to date you or not, you know, put your clothes back on and walk away. Basically, you have to, you know, show your entire business. You know, you have to put everything out there and then be really open to feedback. And some of it can be quite challenging. But, you know, we always have the view that you learn things at every stage, and everyone's always got something, you know, to pass back on to you. You've got to take that with a grain of salt. So, yeah, it's been really challenging. I think for people that are thinking about it, you really need to ask the question, like, do you really need it? Like, why are you going down that path? Do you want to be a great Australian business, or do you want the global growth and scale? And if you want the global growth and scale, well, yes, you probably do need to go down the investment path. You know, the other aspect is that investors bring a huge network and a lot of skills to the table. So that's been highly valuable for us. But we also know a lot of people that are bootstrapping, you know, their journey and doing it themselves and being incredibly successful. So I think you really need to start with that fundamental question of, you know, do I really need to raise? Am I doing this for the right reasons, or because I feel like everyone else is doing it and I should be? It's not a sign of success. If you can do it yourself, man, good luck. Like, that is fantastic. So to really just stop and ask yourself those key questions, and if you can answer those and get super clear on why you're doing it, the value that you're going to extract from going down the investment path, then I think the journey will be a little bit easier. And also, you know, lean on people that have been through it. Ask to see their pitch decks. Ask for their advice. You know, practice your pitch on other people. And also be comfortable with feedback and don't see it as a sign of weakness or that your business is doomed. It's actually not. Investors are pretty blunt, but we have learned probably more from the feedback than the positive, if you know what I mean. So we've really tried to take on board all of the constructive feedback and actually use it to our advantage.
Oh, fantastic. Now, you're a busy working mum, and I know you've got meetings coming up, but what advice would you give to your younger self about being a working mum?
Oh, goodness, great question. Oh, look, you know, I've got two girls and, you know, I still get the, oh, mum, you weren't at the school athletics carnival last week. I'm like, I know, I was in Perth, I'm sorry. It's hard, but at the same time, I'm also really proud that they see me as a strong working parent. So, you know, I keep reminding myself of that. I wouldn't change anything about the journey I've been on. I love what I do. I think, you know, the one thing I would probably tell my younger self is just to set more boundaries and try and stick to them and be a bit firmer on yourself. I'm not that good at that. I prioritize work because I love it and I tend to do that, but I am getting better in my older age at setting those boundaries and trying to, you know, put some of the more important things in life, you know, ahead of perhaps what I would have done in the past. So I'm not really someone who looks back. I wouldn't change anything with my journey, but I think for me, it's definitely the boundaries part and just being a bit stricter. I think the other thing is that when you're running your own business, you know, every year presents new challenges. I think, you know, hire the best people you can, you know, surround yourself with great people, whether it's employees, whether it's mentors, networks, because there are so many people out there that can just fundamentally help and change your business. You don't need to do it all yourself. So sometimes I kind of think I do, but in fact, I don't have all the answers. So I've, again, gotten much more comfortable with asking for help.
And that's so true. No matter if it's in business or in our personal lives, asking for help and surrounding us with good people that can help us out is so vital in so many ways. And so, Kate,
I get it all the time. Don't worry.
How can we get in touch with yourself and also circle in and find out more?
Yeah, love you too. So Kate and I are both on LinkedIn, so you can find us, Jodie Geddes, Kate Pollard. We also have a great LinkedIn account under Circle In, so we tend to post a lot of great stuff that's happening there, so you can definitely follow us. And then our website, circlein.com. So we'd love to have a conversation if anyone's interested to find out more. You know, we support amazing companies. So yeah, I'm really open to seeing, you know, how I can support others. Essentially, our purpose is to create a better world for working parents and caregivers. So we want to help as many people as we can.
Sensational. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. And good luck with your mission in conquering the world.
Yeah, thanks. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Working Mama podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast catcher. Please also feel free to contact me on any of the Working Mama social channels. Remember, Mama is MUMMA, or website www.workingmama.com.au. I would appreciate you to share this podcast with friends and colleagues, especially those that are parents managing the juggle. And I would really appreciate if you had to take the time out to leave a review of the podcast. Thank you and see you next time. Have a great week.